This is Fast Forward, a podcast produced by the Minnesota Council on Foundations. I'm Levi Weinhagen, Communications and Media Specialist at MCF. This episode features my conversation with Elizabeth McGovern, Program Director of Impact Investing at the McKnight Foundation. For more details about the work that we're doing at MCF, go to mcf.org. I'm speaking today with Elizabeth McGovern. Is that right, McGovern?
That's right.
That was the thing I was going to check. Yeah. And you're the Director of Impact Investing at the McKnight Foundation?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And you've been doing that, are you 2 years into that
position? About a year and a half in.
Okay.
The program's longer, it's been around longer than that, but I've been here for the last year and a half.
So before I get into, I want to ask you some specifics about some programmatic changes that you guys have made in your bond portfolio and in other areas as well. But I'm curious about what drew you into doing the work that you're doing with McKnight when you were doing work in other sectors, even though it's probably a very similar kind of thought process. Mm-hmm. So was there a reason behind you making that shift?
One of the reasons was I had been working in public equities markets, so mostly stocks, and working for a global asset manager. So we managed money for pension funds and insurance companies. And I was doing work where, as an investor, we were going to companies in our portfolio and trying to understand the degree to which they were looking at social and environmental risks that they face that might affect their stock price, and also how they were building in opportunities to address environmental problems into their corporate strategies for growth. So I was doing that work in a global way, and I was living in the Twin Cities, but I was commuting, and I vowed that my next job I was going to actually work in my own local community. Hmm. And so this job, is not on the asset management side. The McKnight Foundation is an asset owner, which means the assets belong to the institution, and that we contract with managers to make sure that those assets are, you know, growing and strong and diverse. So this was an opportunity to work on the other side of the equation, but still really focus on the climate change and energy and community issues that I was really very interested in.
So that must give you really good insights, because you were doing the work and now you're communicating with the people who are doing that work you were doing, so you can translate everything.
I think the word translating is exactly right. So often people think in this role, oh, we need someone who just can put together deals and invest money. But when you're working in a philanthropic context, it's really important to be able to communicate with the finance staff and with your fund managers and with your investment committee, who have a very specific set of issues and concerns and a vocabulary that's important to them. But you also need to be able to talk to your other stakeholders, and those are the program officers who are making grants, the NGOs who are in the field doing the good, important work. And they have their own set of vocabulary and perspective, and they're all part of the same system. But a lot of times those two types of constituencies don't communicate well with each other because they use different language.
It's funny, you work in finance, but your job is communication.
Some of it is, absolutely. Yep, you've got to be comfortable with numbers and words.
Yeah, yeah. I'm mostly a words person. Mm-hmm. So as soon as you start talking numbers, I get sweaty and panicked. Well, one of the reasons I reached out to connecting with you and wanting to talk to you for this is, in this year, McKnight announced going coal-free in the bond portfolio investments. Mm-hmm. So first of all, I'm hoping you can just explain what that means for mm-hmm. those of us who don't know. And then tell me a little bit about how you came to that decision to head that way and what the process was like to actually get the portfolio to represent the idea of doing that.
Well, I'm going to start with the process, which was back in 2013. Some members of the McKnight family asked whether we could do more with the resources of the foundation. So we were already giving away 5% of the assets every year to important groups doing good work. And the question was, how else can we leverage our assets? And of course, the endowment, the $2 billion that we have in the markets, earning money so we can make more grants, is a really fabulous resource and perhaps maybe an underutilized resource. So the board began by asking themselves, were there ways to align our investment portfolio with the important values of sustainability of the foundation and also with the work of some of the programs where we're grant making?
So that's sort of a mission-based investment.
It's called mission-based investment. We are often saying alignment, and there's different kinds of alignment. We have, you know, some impact investments I would call high impact, and other investments that are generally about sustainability in the broadest sense of the word. So one of the things that the investment committee undertook at the time was to ask themselves, you know, how energy intensive are our different accounts? And we're obviously a foundation that has a program called the Midwest Climate and Energy Program that has a very strong focus on how do we transition and be a leader from a carbon economy to a low carbon economy. And that was a natural question to ask about our assets. So we started looking at the assets, and what we came to discover was there was one place that was particularly carbon intensive, so a lot of greenhouse gas production in those investments, and that was a stock fund invested broadly in the U.S. market in the Russell 3000. And so that was actually where the committee began, and then the coal portfolio was something that we addressed about a year later. So that was the most recent place where we've taken coal out, but we actually started with a stock portfolio, where we very decidedly and intentionally removed the coal from that portfolio.
Was it a matter of the initial move was successful in alignment, and so then that made it easier to decide to make changes in other ways?
I think that impact investing definitely is a, it's a practice, and it's something that you get better at or you get more comfortable with. So we just picked one place to begin, and we tried that, mm-hmm. and that worked, and then we looked at the portfolio and kind of really opportunistically and pragmatically said, okay, what next? What else do we have? So the stock fund was actually very successful. We built a new investment product with our fund manager, with Mellon Capital Management. It's called the Carbon Efficiency Fund. So it took $100 million that was invested broadly across the U.S. market, and it said, first, let's take coal out. So we'll just drop any company that's a coal company, drops. And the second thing we want to do is let's tilt this portfolio towards companies that produce greenhouse gases more efficiently than their peers. So within every sector, we looked and we said, if you are producing few greenhouse gases per unit of sales, we will invest a little bit more money in you, we'll overweight you. And if you're producing a lot of greenhouse gases for dollar sales, we're going to underweight you. So it just gently tilts that portfolio. It reduces the carbon intensity of our $100 million investment by 53%, and it removes our exposure to coal. And that portfolio has performed beautifully. It's very low risk, it's very low fee, it's tracked the index, so it's not volatile. It looks kind of how like the U.S. market works, except it's less exposed to, you know, companies with poor emissions production.
What I really like about the way you said that is you found a way for it to not just be moving away from something, but towards something. Mm-hmm. I think often the first thing is, I need to get away from this space.
Yep.
But then to keep the momentum, finding a direction instead of just a path away, but a path towards.
That's
right.
Seems
really significant.
And in any kind of transitioning economy and in a low carbon economy, there will be winners and there will be losers. And so we're interested in both sides of that equation. Mm. This portfolio reduces our exposure just slightly, not entirely, but it just kind of moves us towards those we think are positioned to potentially be winners.
What are the questions that the organization had to ask itself when making, I imagine there's a lot of changes, mm-hmm. that have to happen to make that kind of a bigger change.
Mm-hmm.
Are there some really obvious questions and then some, we didn't even realize we needed to consider this, yeah. that come up in making a transition like that?
Sure. I think every institution to some degree has a different set of questions because it really reflects the culture of the foundation. So we have gone about this process in a way that is very McKnight-like. And you can watch other foundations that have made different kinds of decisions, you know, do it their own way. So in terms of what were the questions that I think McKnight was most interested in, how do you maintain your approach to investment that's comfortable so it's responsible and prudent and diverse and will ensure the health and well-being of the organization over the long term? But how do you also think about your investments in a way that's somewhat different than maybe the way you've been doing it before? So it's led us to, I think, a lot of pretty robust conversations. We hired a different kind of consultant who had some expertise in this space. We reconfigured our investment team to bring some different skills. And we have really done this work. It's been a collaboration between members of the board, members of the grant-making staff, the program staff, and member of the finance team. Because, like we said earlier, those different groups have really different points of view, and they're all very relevant to this undertaking.
And I think in that space where you mentioned it in a very McKnight-like way, mm-hmm. one of the pieces I noticed is you as an organization are taking into consideration if you remove an investment from a company that is not maybe having the best practices with energy production, I think maybe is the right terminology, that impacts the community that works for that company. And I know that McKnight has been aware of how do we move those investments away from that company, but still be aware that there are people in that community and are there other ways of supporting them? Mm-hmm. So I'm curious how thoughtful you're able to be in the whole process of that. And is that something that comes up at the end that you're like, we forgot to consider? Or mm-hmm. is that something from very early on, let's make sure and be aware of every human element mm-hmm. of a decision like yeah. this?
Well, I think that when you're making decisions to remove things from a portfolio, it raises a question of, well, if we're not betting on the coal sector, then what are we betting on? And so a lot of investors are led very quickly from, let's remove kind of money from the older part of the energy economy and move it into the new energy economy. So there's a lot of excitement, enthusiasm, and dollars moving out of philanthropy into wind power, solar power, smart devices, energy efficiency services, all those kinds of things that are building a new energy economy. And we're doing that too. We have a number of investments that are, you know, going directly to those kinds of plays. As we were talking about those opportunities, though, we also asked ourselves, how is the economy changing? And we see who's benefiting. You know, Minnesota, the number of green jobs that Minnesota and the Midwest is growing is astonishing. So it's a really robust part of our economy. But if we move away from coal, there are other communities. Maybe they're not here, but there are other communities that are involved in the production of coal, and they will feel that change. And so what we decided to do was we took a made a $1 million PRI, which is a program-related investment, which is an IRS tax category that's exclusive to foundations. So people who are, I think, your regular listening audience will know about PRIs. They are essentially investments, but they have to be non-commercial. They're charitable investments. And so we took $1 million and we identified a small community-oriented bank in West Virginia that makes loans to small businesses in a diversifying Appalachian economy. And they make their loans and they provide technical support for businesses in coal country with the idea of people, profits, and the environment all front and center. Mm-hmm. So it's certainly not a panacea, but it's a small contribution to an organization, you know, that's lending it out for kind of the wider community good in a place that, you know, really is feeling the change as we move away from coal.
And it fits in that alignment piece that you talked about as
it's
well.
Exactly. It's, you know, we make grants in the Midwest related to this climate change question. That's the focus. We are a place-based grant maker with a focus on Minnesota and the Midwest somewhat more broadly. This is outside of our geography. So it's not necessarily the kind of thing we would have done at a grant. So our investments don't have to be exactly the same as a grant. They allow us to do things that are different to seek out that sense of alignment. Hmm.
Do you feel like the changes that you continue to look at, it feels like specific to your job even, you have an interesting position in that you have room to find innovation and to make changes, but you also have to maintain stability all the time. I think that's true in a lot of mm-hmm. kinds of work, but you have to be a steward of the fund, and then you also have to be a steward of the community that's being supported, and then there's any number, I'm sure, of a whole list of things that you also have to consider. So is there a push-pull for you in your work of being aggressive with certain kinds of change or being really gentle and really paced out mm-hmm. with other kinds of change? How do you think about when you want to make something happen versus when you want to keep things fairly stable so the other good work can happen around it?
Mm-hmm. Some of it has to do, there's a certain degree of reaction in this job in terms of, you know, we're not the fund managers, we're not the entrepreneurs, we're not the banks. So other people are creating these ideas and these opportunities for us. So we're not building them from scratch. We're reacting to things that are already available to us in the marketplace. So it's almost a question of being evaluative. I don't have a blank slate that I'm building the perfect investment from. I'm reacting to the kinds of things that come our way. So that makes it a little bit easier. And I'd say the other thing that's been extremely helpful is the board of the foundation, when they built this program, was very clear about both the financial returns that we are seeking with these parts of the portfolio. So I have a sense of what types of financial hurdles these investments need to clear. But they were also very clear that the other two types of returns that are part of the picture of this is we want to achieve certain social and environmental returns, and we want to achieve learning returns. And in those cases, I don't have to do any of this alone. I always have partners to help. So the program officers are incredibly knowledgeable. They're the ones who guide, you know, the investment team in terms of thinking about, will this opportunity offer the kinds of social and environmental impacts that we want to participate in? So they bring a lot of issue-based economic policy, community insights to the endeavor of looking at a specific investment. And then on the learning side, we're trying to value the fact that spending time in markets and thinking about economics in a different way is going to bring insights to the institution. And we try to capture and understand and institutionalize those learnings so that even an investment we choose not to make for a variety of reasons like you described is still an opportunity where both the program officers and the investment team have actually probably done some interesting learning about markets and about social and environmental risk or opportunity.
Do you take as much from what you don't do as from what you do?
Oh, you learn a ton from what you don't do. And that's how our board committee has learned is, you know, they built a structure, they built a policy, they kind of had a very broad brush outline, they put people to do the work, but it's actually in the doing of the investment, in the considering different types of opportunities, that's where we do a lot of learning. It's where the investment committee learns kind of what their tolerance is for risk, what types of ideas are really compelling and what's less compelling. You know, it's in the working up the investment that the program officers and we learn. So there's just a lot. There's a lot of new perspectives you get when investment questions meet social change questions.
So you talked about doing this kind of work and making this kind of change that is culturally specific to this organization. But I wonder, you know, McKnight has a fair amount of visibility in the upper Midwest and I think even nationally as an organization and as a really community-focused organization. Do you think when you are implementing changes of the potential that you're being a model for other foundations, is that something you like to make visible, or is that at least something that you think can happen, that somebody could see what you're doing and you become a leader in that way as well?
Well, the field of impact investing is relatively new, and so there's, you know, everyone who's working in it is learning as we go. So there's a lot of mutual learning to be had, essentially. And I have peers at other foundations that I just, you know, really rely on to guide me in certain directions, and hopefully, you know, the good and the bad experiences we have can be useful to other people. Part of that learning return we talked about, one of the pieces of that has been, it's mostly learning, you know, internal learning, but we're actually trying at least to provide transparency into what we're doing programmatically so that other institutions, if they want to see what we've done, can do that. So we have portfolio level disclosure on our website. You can go into our impact investing website and look at all of the companies and funds that we've invested in. You can look at how much we've put there, what the performance is like, what we've learned from them. We have disclosure to the program-related investments and the market rate investments. So I think the premise is share what you've got, and if people want to go there and find it useful, fantastic. And if not, you know.
You keep doing your work.
We'll just keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. That makes perfect sense. Yeah. Well, so if somebody did want to reach out to you and ask questions about how you did this or get guidance or say, hey, I saw what you did and it's totally wrong, I want to tell you a better way to do it, what's the best way for somebody to reach out to you directly?
Yeah. I think the best way is to start at the website. We have put a lot there and a lot of specifics there. And also we've been trying pretty hard to blog as we go. Mm-hmm. So the library on the website has quite a few both blog posts and some articles and some materials we've put together to try to articulate our strategy. So I'd start there. And then anyone, you know, questions beyond that, people can, you know, can email me really easily through the website. And I'm always happy, you know, this is a really fertile space and there's always lots of lots of conversations and lots of data sharing amongst different institutions. So,
well, fantastic. Thanks for your time, Elizabeth.
Well, you're very welcome. It's been really a pleasure to talk about this. It's something we're passionate about.
Fantastic.
All right.